Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. It is an honor to be with you guys and to be in Casper, because for me, this gets me out to my hometown. I was born and raised in Scotts Bluff, in Nebraska, and so don't hold the Nebraska part against me, but it's hard for other people in the other parts of the nation to really, to growing up out west like this, 3 hours is, oh yeah, that's close. Yeah, that's part of my area. Most people don't quite get that, but I know you do. But that's where it's fun to be able to be with you all today. We are one of your missionaries that you support, so this morning is part of our report time. So this is shareholder meeting, and we get to give you an update on your missions dollars that you've invested in us, that we've been able to see things happen across the nation. And what's fun is Stacy's with me, not always have we been able to do it, but we've had changes in our nest situation and stuff. And yeah, I won't steal your thunder. So that's, let her, because a lot has changed since I was able to be with you the last time. It's been at least 8-9 years since I was able to be with you guys the last time, but a lot has changed in our family. Stace?
Hi, it is a pleasure to be with you. I have not traveled a lot with Kent because I was ministering to my boys and bringing them up and having a home church for them to be a part of, and so it's such a joy. Part of empty nesting in the season of life is that I do get to travel with Kent. And so it's exciting to be here. I'd like to share a little bit about our family. So if you go to the next slide, this is the day I had a daughter. So God gifted me two awesome men to raise, to love him. And I've prayed for this day when I would have a girl. So there she is. I had a girl. She is my daughter by love, and this is our family. And this was last August when our family grew. So we're excited. The next slide I'll show you a little bit more individual. So the picture on your right is our oldest son. That's Grant. He lives out in the Washington, D.C. area. And if you'll pray with me for him, we would love him to walk a closer walk with the Lord than he is right now. I know he loves God, but he's allowed life to kind of take over. And so just be praying for our son, Grant. I believe in the power of prayer for our children. And so, and then be praying too that God bring him a wonderful woman that loves her, that loves God. That's what we're looking for. So hey, you too. Okay. So, my two boys together, and then again, our youngest son, Garrett, got married last August to Paige, and again, gave me a daughter. It's a really big deal to me that I have a daughter. I just want you to know. I'm just like super excited, and at Christmas, like she got the most gifts, and I said, sorry, I finally got a girl. So anyway, we are excited to be with you. Our boys have grown up in Youth Alive. It's kind of hard to imagine that our youngest son was about 20 months old when we stepped into a missionary role in Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. Our younger son knows nothing else. He knows our mission of Youth Alive, which is that every student would have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And the unique role that I have is I'm on the campus on a daily basis. I'm a substitute teacher. At this point, it's my calling to serve the campus in that way, to serve students and to serve teachers. And I've come off a really hard season of substitute teaching. In December, our junior high and our high school both lost students to suicide. And one of them committed suicide at the school during the school day. And so to walk into that building later that week and to be his hands extended, to be grace, to be merciful to a hurting group of students I just would encourage you as adults. A lot of times we think of the campus and we think, I'm not a student, I can't do anything. But I walked into a lunch that day where a church came alongside that school and provided a meal and said, we're thinking of you. So there's so many ways that we, the church, more than just the student, we, the church, can step onto the campus and make a difference. And that's just my little encouragement the Lord gave me this morning for you. Love you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. This is our passion, our calling. It's the mission of Youth Alive, is the gospel to every student before they graduate. And it's that's where, especially in this unique COVID season, you find the challenge for every, we have educators in the room, just know we're praying for you because we know that this has been a challenging season for everybody, but yet it is incredibly difficult. But then even for the students, it's probably one of our biggest concerns from the beginning with the shutdown and the disruption. There's still so many school districts that don't have in-person classes going right now. And the opportunities, one of our major strengths of a ministry is going in to do school assemblies. On an average year, we'd be close to 250,000 students we'd speak to on an annual basis. We can't do. And I cannot tell you how many times after a school assembly we'd have the students thinking about suicide, coming up talking with us, where we could connect them with the guidance counselor. Students that are in incredibly bad situations that could be noticed, could be discovered, aren't because of this season. And so there's scars, there's hurts that are taking place right now. And in the midst of this, we're finding ways to adapt to still reach students. Because one of the frontline, the number one way to reach a student today is through another student. And that's why our students need to be primed to be on mission. School isn't a place that they have to go. It's a place they get to go on mission sent by God. And that's the huge part of Youth Alive, is to mobilize students, mobilize and connect a church to their schools, because there is the myriad of ways you can accomplish that mission. It just starts with that step of faith. And that is our part. And our national role, and this is where we just say thank you for your support. You're helping us raise up additional missionaries across the U.S. Just in the last year, in the midst of COVID, this is what I love. In the midst of COVID, we're raising up 4 brand new missionaries to serve different parts of the U.S. Have a new missionary into the North Texas district launching right now. We have new missionaries in Illinois, South Texas, as well as Arkansas. And we're watching their support come online, and it's just fun watching churches and students starting capturing a vision in states that we haven't been at in a while, and starting to watch God relaunch a vision in the midst of this crazy moment. But that's thanks to you, where we can keep watching this replicate across the U.S. One of the fun parts, just before COVID, we launched a new gospel resource, and I have it at our table as you walk out. I encourage you to grab one of these. It's called Alive in 5, and it's a new gospel resource that we developed to equip students to be able to share the gospel. We wanted students to be gospel fluent. And when you start thinking of speaking another language, it's more than just a head knowledge you've got to have. You've got to really know the culture to be able to speak that language. And so when you begin to learn the language, learn the culture, you're able to speak fluently about it. And that's where we want students to be immersed, that a gospel isn't just something you do, it's who you are. The gospel message is just not something you recite. It's coming from a live relationship with their Savior. And that's the fun part, is helping students be able to capture that. And so I encourage you with this Alive in 5 resource, this brochure walks through, and this is one of the ways we wanted to help make it simple and memorable for students by going through 5 simple images or icons, helping students be able to share the hope that God has placed in their heart and life. And we're watching tens of thousands of students do this. It's been fun to watch this launch, even in the midst of COVID, continue to spread. And it's just been a very incredible season in the midst of its uniqueness. Let me show you a next picture that we have. This is a picture of a Bible club just before COVID. Believe it or not, it's almost a year ago. Prescott Valley High School in Prescott, Arizona. And one of the fun parts, Grace Garishay, during her senior year, God just began to put it on her heart that she needed to mobilize other Christian believers on her school campus to say, let's help our friends know who Jesus is. Let's do it together. And within a short time, she was able to see this club start from nothing to over 70, 80 students and seeing students come to Christ weekly in those club meetings. It's amazing. And once COVID hit, everything stopped, but they started moving their club online. And it was a way that they started to, even in the midst, gaining an online presence and seeing more people, different classmates that probably would never have come to their club meeting, but did come to their online meeting. And it's one of those unique moments, just like for you as a church. Your online service today is reaching people that maybe would not have ever stepped in the building. So every single time you're having a service, you're going to have opportunities to reach people that you've never had a chance to reach. And it's one of the fun parts of this season. As we begin to go through the initial phases of COVID, we're going, okay, how do we adapt? Because the gospel does not stop. God's heart for people does not stop. He's still reaching out. He is still moving. How do we get in step with that? And one of the simple, flexible ways was helping students realize they're natives of the digital world, of all the different social media channels. Let them go. Let them go with a vision that it's just not a place just to hang out, but God's going to place them there to be able to share the gospel. So I want to show you a quick video that we put together. In fact, the front part has a testimony of a student in Georgia that did phenomenal things through TikTok videos. I mean, it just cracks me up. But here's, he used simple videos, but was able to lead hundreds of friends to Christ. It's amazing. And it just, that's where if we can give students a vision of that God is and will use them, and they take that step of faith to put themselves in that place where God will use them, he will. And it's, you'll see that bear out. So check this out.
So being homeschooled, there's not many opportunities to go out and share the gospel because you're at home a lot of the time. So I was like, I need to find a way to share this gospel. And you know, social media came up, and that's when I got on TikTok. I decided, since there are so many social media apps and there are so many teams on social media, I could be able to reach them there. So from there, I started just posting like goofy Christian videos, Christian worship songs, Bible studies, a bunch of different stuff, going live, talking to people. And we've seen over 200 people give their life to Christ. I've gained over 400,000 people that I can share the gospel with on a daily basis. And it's just a really good experience to be able to share it with so many people, people who don't even know God, seeing them give their life to God over the phone. It's just beautiful.
Creating your own community online starts with people. Who do you know that you can invite to your community? Think of some friends who can be part of your core group and start with them.
Picking a platform for your group is important, but also fun. There's so many options out there like Zoom, Twitch, YouTube, Discord, and so many more. Think about what you want your community to look like and what other people in your group will find easy to use.
After you thought of your core group and your platform, it's time to launch your community. Pick a day to have a launch event and let your group know. Keep inviting people and hype it up for them. Remember, every person that shows up is a win.
Now that you started your community, you want it to grow. The most important thing to remember is to always put Jesus first. Develop meaningful relationships with your group and create opportunities to open up spiritually or talk about Jesus. This will determine the success of your group.
Also, be sure to make a plan and be consistent. Your community needs to feel a sense of purpose and stability, and you can give that to them by being consistent with your meeting times and your presence.
Lastly, get creative, collaborate with other influencers, and think of new ways to keep Jesus first in your community as it grows. Your youth pastor, youth leader are awesome resources of doing just that.
Well, influencers, we believe in you. Go and change the world.
So that gives you a little bit of a taste that in the midst of this uncertain season, God's still working. And he's still moving and using this generation of teenagers. And that's, to me, the fun part for a teenager is there is no lid to the creativity of what you could do online. And to watch students be able to use different media platforms that would have been just used, like Twitch, just used predominantly for gaming, are now being used to house youth small groups, campus clubs, where students are gathering and being the connecting points where schools can't get together. Students can't find a place where they can just hang out on a school day. Students are creating it online and at the same time being a place where they can give the gospel. And that's, again, the essence of Youth Alive. So thank you for your investment in us, that we can continue to see this grow across the country, that every student, until every student knows who Jesus is. Pray for us also. One of the latest dream responses that we're literally, things are just going crazy, because I mentioned earlier, we could not do school assemblies. But there's got to be a way we can still have a presence in our schools with what we do with that. And one of the ways we're adapting, and we're going to do some video shoots 2 weeks, we're flying in to do it. 2 weeks from this coming Sunday, right on Super Bowl Sunday, we're gathering 10 of the top school assembly speakers across the nation, and we're working with, quite a few guidance counselors at different parts of the country that are licensed, certified SEL guidance counselors, social emotional learning, and helping bring an SEL approach to some classroom resources and helping students deal with COVID. So it's a resource teachers will be able to use in classroom. The video side of it will be some of these great motivational school assembly speakers. And so pray with us that we can launch that resource to be able to give out to the schools across the nation and equip churches like yourself to be able to approach your local schools to offer it. And the fun part is, those resources are going to be there in a sharp way at a very meaningful time. When we got word of that student in Nixa that committed the suicide in the school, right there in a bathroom. I mean, that just grips you to the part where you're like, we can't sit idle. And so pray with us that we will continue to have the favor. It's been amazing watching this resource. If everything stays on track right now, we'll be launching that by the middle of March, and to be able to get out to schools across the nation. So thank you for your giving to help us keep finding ways that we can penetrate the campuses across America. Certainty. In the midst of uncertainty, this has been definitely an uncertain year. We've hit a lot of that. We've all experienced it. We're kind of dead and tired of it, right? We probably all have the moment where we look at that face mask and you're just like, test your patience, right? And you're just ready for it to be done, ready for a life to, we kind of want a back of somewhat of a normal, right? And here, one of the great things to know is in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of all that our country's going through, and that's where in the last year, who would have thought we would have had so much political upheaval, racial upheaval, economic upheaval, you have health upheaval. I mean, the challenges that we are experiencing are so deep, are so wide. But in the midst of all that uncertainty, there's a lot to be certain about. And that's the hope I want to share with you today, is the certainty that we can have in the midst of the uncertainty. So turn with me in your Bibles, if you don't mind, to First John chapter 5. We'll be looking at just three verses this morning, verses 13 through 15 of 1 John chapter 5. And in the midst of all the various things that are happening today, this passage in John just brings so much great assurance to us. In John's writings, 39 times, in John's writings, he talks and uses the word know. And he uses it in a way that we can know. Like he's trying to help us, you certainly need to know this. And so he uses this word know 39 times. And in our passage today, he'll use it 3 times. And in his usage, he wants us to know that we can have certainty in the midst of uncertainty. But look at verse 13, and we'll read our passages with our passage, our verses. Start off verse 13. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us, we make our requests. We also know that he will give us what we ask for. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word today. And we pray that, Father, in the midst of what we're living, give us hope, give us confidence, give us strength today, a joy. In the midst of what we live in, that God, you are at work in our lives. And Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to us clearly this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love this passage. It's been one of the parts every year I've been trying, last several years, I've been trying to pick a word to be a focus word for the year. A couple years ago, it was courage. Had that one word, and that was just, and boy, did it come back. Courage to be able to face maybe the weaknesses of my life. Courage to face the strengths, to build on them. Courage to take the step of faith wherever God placed me, decisions in my leadership and family, just courage. Last year, I kind of built off of it. It was more courageous faith. I just wanted to have large faith. And like that bold, but I love that word courage. And how timely when you go into COVID, it was like, have courage. Don't feel like you have to go in this cautiously. Have courage. And now this year, God's just challenged me with the word rest, which sometimes that can almost seem like, okay, is that directly opposite? But actually, it's not. Courage is actually a very, when it comes to rest, is actually not a passive word. To really rest in him, to rest in his power, to rest in and have confidence that he will come through, that I don't have to do it. He will. He will fight my battles. He will bring healing. He will bring the miracle that I need. He will give us the strength. To have that, I need to rest and let him do it. It's not passive. It's actually very hard. Because it's that time where you're trusting him to be that Lord and leader of your life. It's that part where you just go, yeah, I got to keep taking my hands off and letting your hands stay on it, God. And so this brings us to this passage. This is what excites me, is we see three things that we can be certain about. And the first thing is this. We can be certain that we have a personal relationship with God. And this is what John's wanting to bring out in verse 13. Look at it with me. Verse 13, he says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. He wanted us to have a confidence, a certainty that we have eternal life. And he's not talking about the quantity of time here. He's talking about the quality of our life. We all are going to live eternity. Sometimes we forget this. We all will live for eternity. Everyone actually has eternal life already. But it's which side? Because the reality is there's a heaven and a hell. Which side will you live it on? So when we look at this passage today, John's wanting to let us know and want to remind the believers, even at this moment, is that there is a certainty you can know that you have an eternal life in heaven. But this eternal life isn't just a mystical place. It's a relationship with the God. It's a personal relationship with him. And you can see it in other parts where he writes. Look at this next passage, John chapter 17, verse 3, if you don't mind going. Here it is. And the reference, by the way, is an error on my part. This is John chapter 17, verse 3. So here it is. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one who sent to the earth. John's wanting us to be reminded that we do have a personal relationship, that we can know God our Father. We can know his Son Jesus. We can have this personal relationship. That's what this eternal life is talking about today, is that we can have a personal life. It's personal. Look at other passages that we can see in Scripture here that bear this out. when we begin to look at Luke chapter 11, verse 2. If you go to the next slide. There we go. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, he finished. One of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John had taught his disciples." And Jesus says this, "This is how we should pray." And he begins to go into it. Father. Personal. Our relationship with our God is personal, that we would address him, that we would pray, Father. As a good father. Look at it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. When it goes on in this passage, where it goes, "But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again." That part just cracks me up. Sometimes as Christians, we can do that very same thing. "But don't be like them. Your Father knows exactly what you need before you even ask him." But Jesus is saying here, ask confidently, approach. Come to him. When we approach him as our Father, he delights when we approach him. We have a God that desires us to approach him. And he doesn't want, this is the amazing part about our God that we serve, is that he is such a personal God. He doesn't get on an ego trip. He wants to know us intimately. He wants us to be able to share everything openly and honestly with him. Some translations, it's some of my, when you get into certain translations, and I don't have a slide for this, but Psalm 55, there's some parts, God loves to be so personal to the point, some versions when you read Psalm 55, it'll say, "And God hears our sighs." That even in the midst of an uncertain time, we've all had the moments when we can't even express a word, but we've all had the sigh, right? We all have that moment when you get overwhelmed by the moment and you're just like, oh. The amazing part is, even when we sigh, can be a prayer. Because we have a God that so personally loves us. Secondly, this morning, we can see from our passage something else, is that we know that we have a God who listens when we pray. We have a God that not only delights in us approaching him, but we have a God that listens. He actively listens, like he's engaged. So when we approach him, God's leaning in. He's leaning in to listen to us when we pray. Look at verse 14 as we look at it here. "And we are confident that he hears us." So as we approach him through this eternal relationship, we can be confident. John lets us know we can be confident. And think of all the different adjectives to confidence. Boldness, being outspoken, freedom to speak, bluntness, speaking your mind. Confidence in speaking to God because he's listening is that you can tell him everything. That's one of the parts why I still even go back to the Psalm 55, is even when you can't find the words to sum up what you're feeling, you can approach God in that moment. And even a sigh, he gets. He knows. He's listening. So we can have a confidence today that our God is interested in our life. A confidence to know that he's engaged in every aspect of your life this morning. When we pray, our God's presence is around us. And our God dwells in that. Answered prayer begins when we get into his presence. When we begin to pray and seek after him, the more we get to know him, the more we get to know God's word, the more he will speak, the more he will drill into our life, the more in the midst of the uncertainty, when we don't know what the next step might be, here's the great thing. We keep being faithful, doing the revealed will of God. He'll start to reveal the unrevealed parts. When we keep drilling in on knowing him, when we place ourselves in that place, promptings will come. He'll start to plant words. He'll start giving us impulses to take steps of faith, and he'll start to lead us and guide us. The confidence we can have this morning to know he's listening. It's been the fun part watching students as we've put out that just simple video on helping students start to do things online, watching students start to go, oh, I got an idea. And they start streaming a movie night, but they'll stream it on Twitch. They'll do it on their group page, streaming a movie, and they're talking about it through the whole movie together online. Different places, connecting, but then they end up praying and talking to each other throughout the rest of the night. It's just when we can know in the midst of uncertainty, God will speak, prompt, and use us wherever he places us. Third and finally, we have this. We can know this from our passage today is we have a God who answers when we pray. So it's not only that we have this personal relationship, it gets better. Our God's not only leaning in, he listens, but he answers. He comes in. He answers. He hears us when we pray, when we give our requests. When he comes, our God will come into this picture. Look at verse 15. Well, as we look at it here, it says, and since we know he hears us, that's present tense. When he hears us, when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. God begins to let us know that he will answer our prayers. So what are you facing today? Maybe there's something in a marriage, in your family. Maybe there's something financial. Maybe it's questions about a next step in life. Just know, have a confidence that God is in the midst of it today. He's leading you. He's there for you. If you lean in and trust him, there's a confidence that we can know that he's heard our prayers and he's hearing them as we pray. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, last passage I'll go to today. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. We have a God that desires this. He's not this big, powerful deity that just flexes his power. It's greater than that. He implores us to ask, seek, knock. When we do those, when we begin to approach that, we can, in faith, trust him, because we will receive. We will find. The door will be opened. So whatever you're facing today, the finances, the job, the provision, the salvation of others, a healing, just know God's going before you. As a church, as you're dreaming new ways of reaching this Casper area for Christ, to know that you're launching out, to know the radius of your impact and what it can be, how God can impact our life, but how that radius will impact, touching to every point around the world. Know this, as you dream in faith, God will go before, so dream big, dream bold. Don't dream short. In this season of uncertainty, don't let it mean that you cower back, step back, but step forward in a confidence. Know God is leading you. God is providing for you. He will provide the next step in the moment when you need it. Until then, stay faithful. So take that step of faith. As he does, as you keep being faithful, he'll show you the next step and the next. God wants us to advance, not shrink back. The Assemblies of God Fellowship has had a history of this as a fellowship. It's an amazing heritage. And it's not, how do I make sure that it doesn't come off as a promotion of people, but it really goes back to a reflection of a worship to God. It's amazing that as we hold on to him, the Assemblies of God went through the last pandemic and grew. Missions grew. Evangelism grew. Went through the Great Depression. It did not shrink back, but the number of churches only grew. When we look at our history and the history of even this church, of how God has been faithful to this church in its founding, in its history, you can have a confidence to know that the radius of the impact is going to be greater than it's ever been, even in the midst of an uncertain moment. Because we have a certainty in a God who's for us and with us. If only we will ask, seek, knock in faith and in Him today. So whatever you're facing today, have a confidence to know He's with you. Amen? Stand with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank You for being a God that loves us so much. God, You love this area of Wyoming. God, You've planted this church not incidentally on the one of the tallest hills in the area. God, to be a lampstand to this area. Father, we pray right now, Father, You will use each person in this room today. Father, I pray on the individual side right now that, Lord, for those who needed to know this today, that You're there for them. They're not in what they're experiencing alone. Father, we pray that You will speak to them right now. With every head bowed, I have to ask this today. If you're here today and you did not know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if He's not the number one thing in your life, but you know He needs to be, there's some things that have gotten out of whack. But if you're here today and you need to make a rededication, or maybe for the first time, you need to invite Him to be your Lord and Savior, if that's you, I just want you to look up and look at me. That's it. If that's anyone, I'm just looking across. I want to pray with you. Is there anyone? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. And if you're online and you're watching online, you need to know that there's a God speaking to you right now. He loves you. And the beginning part is a prayer, but it's not the words, it's your heart. So if everybody would pray this prayer with me, and for those who are wanting to renew this relationship, or maybe for the first time, establish this relationship with God, I want all of us, let's pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank You for loving me, for not giving up on me. Thank You for Your love. Forgive me of my sins, trying to do things my own way. I surrender my life to You. Lead me. Be my leader. Be my Savior. I give it all to You. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I encourage you, make sure, you see Pastor Zachary, let him know that you prayed that prayer if you were here today. For those of you online, reach out to us at the church. The contact info is on the channel, right? They can reach out. We want to know. We'll help you walk in those new steps of a relationship with Him. And know this is a church. Boy, the greatest days for Radius Church have not been written yet. The greatest days in the life of this church has not been written yet. God's writing it right now. If we will ask, seek, and knock, and trust Him. So I want to pray for you, and we'll go into a time of worship, but I want to pray for you as a church in this new year that God will use you in an incredible way. Heavenly Father, pray a blessing upon this church. Father, we pray a blessing upon them. Father, to trust You like never before. And Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever needs might be written on hearts today, Father, as we lift up our hands to You, we lift them to You. We pray that God, You will meet and You will reveal Yourself in a powerful way in their situations that'll only bring more glory to You, another opportunity to tell others to know You. God, we pray that You will continue to anoint Radius Church to be that lampstand on the hillside to Casper, to this region of Wyoming. Father, let it shine so bright. May the greatest days be ahead. Father, the dreams that You have, ministries that you want to start. Continue to speak to the people. Father, bring people and resources to accomplish your dreams and your purposes, we pray. God, may your hand be upon at this church like never before. We thank you for Pastor Craig and Rebecca, the staff, every person that's part of this church. God, we pray, anoint this church the greatest days you are writing today. And Father, we believe and we will just celebrate you in what you will do in the days and the years to come. Thank you, Father, for loving us, that we can approach you in this moment, this morning, boldly, to lean in to our ever-loving God. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.